Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, scheduled to be joined shortly by former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington. So looking forward to having him on the program. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texted in the last segment and said he wasn't going to touch the Titans-Bears game this weekend because of the release of Bo Brinkley. He might be able to change his mind. Nate says he's now picking the Bears. Field goals are too important to the Titans. We've seen how important field goals can be to the Titans this year, or lack thereof.
Yeah, that's if they're gonna get terrible long snapping, then I hear you.
They've had terrible kicking, so why not add something to it?
They have. Yeah, I'd be more. I would be more worried about that than the long snapping. They've got a guy who is ready, who has done it, who's in as a long snapper, and right now I'd be worried more about Gostkowski just missing field goals at 10 for 17.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in former Titans wide receiver and part of Nate and TD with Teron Davenport here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nate Washington joins us on the line now. Nate, what's going on, man? We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for having me, fellas. How y'all doing?
We are doing very well. Hope you are as well. And Nate, obviously you're very familiar with the wide receiver position in the NFL. As you look at A.J. Brown and evaluate him, we see the physical traits, we see the tools that he brings to the table. Has he done enough at this point in your mind to establish himself as a legitimate number one wide receiver in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Of course, hands down, without a doubt in my mind. I think the best thing about this kid is because it's so early, you know, there's an understanding of time span that obviously there's still a lot of room for growth, a lot of room for potential for even becoming better. You know, I know this is kind of off subject, but when you look at him and DK Metcalf, you know, of what they're able to do with their body types and what they bring to the table as a number one receiver, you know, you don't get that too often. You don't get guys with that size, with that comes with agility and speed, you know. So what he's able to do with his game right now is merely just, you know, physical talent. Once this guy begins to understand and learn the intricacies of the NFL, how defenses will start to begin to cover him, you know, what his weaknesses are so that he can address those so he can get better. Once he starts to understand those things, you're going to see an even better A.J. Brown. You know, this is very surface level, I feel like, of his potential, because he's being a young guy, he's not going to operate too much off of experience. You know, obviously he's going to be out there off of natural raw talent, and I'm excited to see him continue to learn his position and his abilities within not only this offense, but within the NFL.
So, Nate, Robbie just asked you, you know, number one receiver question. There's been some arguing about that. How do you define that? Because I think some people define it differently. How do you define, you know, that when you're asked that question, is someone a number one receiver?
Well, this, for me, you know, when I look at a number one receiver, hey, you have to have full package. You know, I want a guy that not only can get open in a play action passing game, but also if I need a third down and four and game is on the line, I need to know I have a guy that I have uncanny faith in. You know, I have unwavering interest in to make sure that this guy is the guy that makes the play. And, you know, I think that's exactly what AJ is. You know, when you look at an offense, And even when I was there, throughout the duration of time that I was there, when Kenny Britt went down, you know, those things interchange. And while I became the number one receiver, you know, to be quite honest with you, you know, my ability was more so supporting Cavs. You know, I was able to, you know, be reliable as the number one receiver. But, you know, throughout the rest of the season, I was really just filling in for our number one that went down in Kenny Britt and the ability that he was able to do and just doing whatever I could. So it's a situation with AJ. When you look at this guy's game and his ability and what he's able to do and able to be dependable and reliable in his action, I think that's what takes him to the number one receiver slot for me. Just the ability to be dependable in clutch time moments and have a guy out there that, you know, I think when it comes down to it, even as well as Corey has been playing, when it comes down to the game, you know, I think even the opposing defense will pretty much know if it's a pass that needs to be made. You know, I think the team knows who the Titans are going to be going to, who the Titans are going to be looking for to make a play, and who they're going to give that possibility to. It's definitely going to be A.J. Brown.
Former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Nate, you talked about A.J. Brown maybe going through the learning process of seeing what NFL defenses are doing to try to combat against him and adjusting to that. How long do you think it takes for young guys to get into the NFL and truly have a grasp for how to make those adjustments and combat what NFL defenses are trying to take away from them?
Well, it's all upon opportunity as well. You know, I have been in a lot of offenses where, you know, being a number two guy or being a number two option within the offense, I may receive maybe around 100 and 110 targets a game. As of where, you know, you get your number one receiver, and a lot of times they're going to get a lot of targets that a lot of guys on the team are not going to or have. You know, a lot of times you're looking at your number one receiver having anywhere between 150 and 250 targets on the season. With that being said, that comes with experience. And the more, you know, he gets the opportunity, the more he's recognized as a number one receiver, the more, you know, different levels will unlock for him. You know, I think the more these opportunities come, then he's going to be facing different defenses, different coverages, different Pro Bowl defensive backs that are going to have a different will when they play against him. And, you know, I already can see the confidence in AJ to go out, play strong, make sure that he's making plays on the other team. But, you know, obviously, like I said, when you're dealing with the experience of the NFL, it's impossible for him to see everything right now in year two, three, whatever this is for AJ. I think a lot of it is going to have to just come from him continuing to get the opportunities that he's getting and the recognition that he's getting as a number one receiver and going out and facing the other team, because he's going to continue to see different things. He's going to continue to have different coverages. There's going to be a continuance of different requirements, even, you know, trying to balance out the obvious physical run game that the Titans have. You know, the more and more teams come in and try to stop Derrick Henry, the more reliable and dependable AJ is going to have to become. Those things are going to, or he's going to experience along the way. And I truly believe that, you know, obviously with this surgence of success that he's had early on, you know, obviously when people look at him, they're excited. You know, this is something that hasn't been in the two-tone blue for quite some time. And I think, you know, just seeing the plays that he's making now, it's exciting to see the potential he can get into. But learning this game, it's only one way he's going to be able to do that, and that's just continue to experience the opportunities that he's receiving. And once those things continue to grow, his experience and his learning process curve for the game will continue to grow.
Well, Nate, earlier you brought up DK Metcalf. Ole Miss has done pretty well here with receivers and some good ones on Ole Miss now. But put you on the spot here, Nate. Who are you taking right now, A.J. Brown or DK Metcalf?
Oh, my God. Well, obviously, you know, they're pretty much identical in their ability, you know. But obviously, you look at a guy like DK Metcalf and his size in itself, you know, A.J. is a very big guy as well. But to have an even bigger guy with speed, agility, you know, DK is definitely made in the lab right now. I think, no disrespect to AJ, you know, I think he'll even agree. You know, when you get a guy with size, speed, and agility that DK has, you know, you definitely will have to take that guy. You know, the Titans did an amazing job of going with AJ. You know, he definitely fills the void of a number one receiver. I don't want to insinuate that he's not good enough. But when it comes down to choosing, you know, if you're a GM, if you're going off of what you've seen from the tape from the two guys, they're both going to be great. They're both going to be in your top tier, your number one tier of receivers. But if you have a choice, I definitely think I would choose DK just because of the size, the agility, and the speed that he brings to the table right now. I don't think, you know, when you look at number one receivers, when you look at threats, when you look at possibilities, man, this guy definitely has to be accountable for the opposing defense. You know, not to say that AJ doesn't, but, you know, when you go out and look at one-on-one possibilities, go routes, stop routes, any one-on-one possibilities with route running, that this guy has the ability not only to get open, but to be physical, to create space, and also still run away from guys. I think that's pretty unique. You don't see that too often. I know he's being compared highly to Julio, and a lot of people are even bringing up Calvin Johnson these days. And to be even mentioned with the same names of the modern-day football era of these type of body types of receivers, you know, when you look at Terrell Owens and those guys, you know, you don't face too many guys like that in the NFL that have the unique size, speed, and agility to still play the receiver spot. And DK is definitely that has that ability.
Former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, last thing for you here. Obviously, it's no secret right now the Titans are struggling defensively. I'm curious, as a player on the sideline, when one side of the ball is struggling either in a season or in a game, how much pressure does the other side feel to kind of overcompensate for that? And do you think maybe the Titans offense right now is going through that a little bit, given the defensive struggles on the other side of the ball?
Well, let me first say this. You know, football is a sport, you know, and I'm pretty sure Vrabel has attested to this throughout his interviews. And, you know, this is something that I grew up not only under Coach Cowher, but Coach Mike Tomlin, playing under Coach Mike Munchak, and these other supreme coaches, they understand that despite of where your team is, despite of what you may be lacking, despite of what your weaknesses may be, as a team, it's always important to go out and do whatever you can to win that ball game. So as an offense, if your defense is struggling, you know, you may be personally frustrated with it. You may be having some conversations with a couple buddies outside the locker room or whatever it may be. But when you're in that locker room, when you're on that sideline, this is a family atmosphere. And as frustrated as you may get with your family, in order for your family to win, sometimes you have to make the sacrifice to go put in more work. And that's exactly what the situation entails. You know, as an offensive player that was in the locker room, you know, when you look at defenses, a lot of times you get in games and systematically throughout the season, your defense may not be playing well. Well, here it is. You bump into a game where your defense is on fire. They're creating turnovers. They're getting off the field on third down, and your offense is struggling. So these just things just happen. You know, you don't always go into games and the way that your team is structured to win, you don't always win that way. Sometimes a team that's structured with an excellent defense wins by special teams. So although, you know, the defense hasn't been playing well, this being a team sport, they have to go out and do whatever they can, even if it's pressing the issue sometimes as an offense, to keep the defense off the field, do whatever they can to get points on the board, and sustain good drives, because that's going to be the winning formula to helping a suffering defense, I guess you can call them right now. Keep them off the field. Make sure that you can give them confidence in the plays that you're making and putting points on the board, but make sure that you're sustaining drives and limiting their ability to hurt the game, I guess you can say. So it's definitely a concern that an offensive player would have, but as you look at this Titan offense right now, they're still trying to stay within the means of their game plan and what they do best, give the ball to Derrick Henry, run their play-action game, try to sustain short to medium third down possibilities for Ryan Tannehill, and control the turnover game with Ryan, you know, making sure they keep the ball and not throwing interceptions or having fumbles. So they just have to continue to try to complement this defense in the way that they can, sustain longer drives, keep the defense off the field, keep the confidence within them by putting points on the board and doing whatever they can. But there's definitely pressure that comes on an offensive team that in these type of situations. But it's no nonsense. There's no excuse about what the position that the team is in. And although this may be the defense that's suffering in this moment, you know, any given Sunday, any aspect of your, any phase of your team may suffer. So even as an offensive player right now, you just have to take the good with the bad and do whatever it is you can as your job to make sure that you go out and make sure that you complement a suffering defense right now in hopes that whatever you can do offensively will keep your team in balance to get that win.
Nate Washington, former Titans wide receiver and co-host of Nate and TD, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Nate, appreciate you taking time to join us, man. Good stuff.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Really interesting comments there from Nate Washington, particularly on A.J. Brown. We're going to discuss that on the other side of the break. Has A.J. Brown done enough at this point to establish himself as a true number one receiver in the National Football League? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nate, obviously you're very familiar with the wide receiver position in the NFL. As you look at A.J. Brown and evaluate him, we see the physical traits, we see the tools that he brings to the table. Has he done enough at this point in your mind to establish himself as a legitimate number one wide receiver in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Of course, hands down, without a doubt in my mind. I think the best thing about this kid is because it's so early, there's an understanding of time span that obviously there's still a lot of room for growth, a lot of room for potential for even becoming better.
That was former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington on with us in the last segment. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, we've tossed the question out there. Has A.J. Brown done enough at this point in his career to consider himself a true number one receiver in the NFL? I think everybody would agree that you look at the physical traits, you look at some of the plays he's able to make after he gets the ball in his hands, and he is just an incredible athlete. I think certainly the most exciting receiver the Titans have had around here in a very, very long time. My question is, when you compare him to the rest of the league and what you would consider a number one, quote-unquote, wide receiver, does A.J. Brown fit that billing in your mind?
Well, so I'm still, because I've heard Jared and the GM, Jared and Floyd, talk about how he's not a number one receiver. So I think, like, there's a definition that differs, like, from what Nate said, right? So yeah. I'm taking the way they talk about it as you're a top-tier receiver, right? I mean, because to me, every
team. You mean
team,
league-wide, like top five, top 10?
Yeah, whatever the top tier is. However, I mean, I think tiers can be sometimes there's two quarterbacks ahead of everybody, and then there's a the next tier. That's how I hear them talking about it. I mean, because technically every team has a number one receiver, right?
Sure.
I mean, like, it could be a crappy one, you know, but like someone, every team has a guy who is their primary receiver. And of course, A.J. Brown is that.
Like, at one point, this team's number one receiver was Rishard Matthews.
Yeah.
He is not a number one receiver in the NFL.
Right.
You don't think so?
I'm going to go out on a limb. Say no.
I'll tell you that Rishard Matthews, for a stretch of 2016, which is Mariota's best stretch of his career, was he impersonated one all right for a while. But, yeah, that's not who you want to be. Rishard Matthews at his best, pretty good too.
Sure.
Pretty good too. Had to be that team's one. Now, they had Kendall Wright. They kind of had two twos who were doing some decent things, you know. There's another receiver.
Kendall Wright.
Gem in Titans history. But he was pretty good that year. But I think A.J. Brown – so if the question is A.J. Brown in the top tier of receivers in the NFL? I would probably say no. I would say he's probably – I think he probably is second tier.
I would
with
agree.
A chance to move up. But is he a number one receiver in the NFL? When you ask that question that way, I say, well, yeah, absolutely. He's a legit – so some teams have guys like we just talked about. I mean, I'm sure we can go around some teams right now and say, who's that team's number one receiver? They have one. Who is it?
Well, like Detroit, I think, is a good example. Like Marvin Jones, maybe Kenny Golladay. Like two really good receivers. Would you classify either one of those guys as a number one receiver? Probably not.
Yeah, Golladay definitely, I think, closer than Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a pretty good one. I mean, there's some other – I mean, like who's the Jets' number one receiver, you know?
Nobody.
Like, right. I mean, like there's – there's some teams where it's just like, I mean, someone's going to get
Crowder out there just snatching the balls.
Yeah. Where's Wayne Corbett when you need him?
Yeah.
Ooh, nice. Nice. Someone else made a Wayne Corbett reference this week. It's been a big week.
That's a big week for him.
Big week for Wayne Corbett on Nashville radio. But I would say that he is a guy who you would say, yes, he's not only has to be their one, but he's a guy who should be a team's top receiver for a stretch of time.
Yeah.
He's that good. I just think he's not quite top shelf.
I would agree with that. I mean, you look at the numbers so far this year, he's played 5 games, 27 catches, 356 yards, 5 touchdowns. So you really like the touchdown ratio he's throwing out right there. But then you're coming off a game on Sunday where he's got 4 catches, 24 yards. And I realize even some top flight number one receivers in the NFL go through weeks where the stats don't look all that great. I still think A.J. Brown has another step to go before he is considered a true, I guess, elite wide receiver. I think A.J. Brown right now is a really, really, really good wide receiver. I don't know if I would go as far as to say he's elite as of yet.
That's a better way to put it,
I think. So the question then becomes, what do you need to see from him to be able to put him in that elite category?
Well, part of it is consistency, right? I mean, part of it is developing into a player where you're getting, you know, 8, 9, 10 targets a game, and you're putting up 100 yards a game. I mean, that's part of it. And I think some of this is just how the Titans offense works. Like, is it, if A.J. Brown is in another system where they're throwing the ball a little bit more, like if you're, I don't know, if you're playing with Russell Wilson this year and they're throwing the ball all around the yard, is A.J. Brown a number one receiver? Do his numbers look better in that system? I mean, the way the Titans play, Derrick Henry's a big part of the game. And Arthur Smith likes to spread the ball around. I mean, that's we've talked about how I think that's pretty advantageous for this Titans offense. Does that hurt A.J. Brown in this conversation? So, number one, I think is some consistency. And number two, I think some of what Nate pointed out in the last segment is really good in terms of learning how to adjust when defenses are really dialing in on him. We saw it, I think, to a certain degree in the Pittsburgh game. I mean, he played really well in that game. The one big play he makes on the slant route really stands out there. But the knock on A.J. Brown in the playoffs last year was, all right, when you're going up against Gilmore, when you're the number one focal point that defenses are honing in on in the passing game, can you get open anyway? When you're double-teamed, can you get open anyway? Because that's what number one receivers in this league have to deal with. I still think there's some work for him to do there.
Yeah, well, and I think there's huge progress from last year to this year, to me, in terms of last year he didn't get a lot of targets. He kind of snuck up on people early. He was a run-after-the-catch guy, and he's always going to be that. He's a tremendous – I mean, someone – it may have been Kevin Byard – was like, basically it's like he's a running back. He's a big-time running back when he gets the ball. You know, so it's not just – I mean, he's imposing. He's intimidating to tackle, and he's added to that. I think he's – I mean, I think the Buffalo game where it was just like they had to kind of force it to him, and they did, and he got open and he made plays. And the thing about him that you hear, that you heard this early in Kevin Byard's career, is that he is not satisfied just being talented and practicing and playing the games. He really is a student of the game. That makes a big difference. It really does. It separates guys. And I think that bodes really well for him to continue to progress. So I think he's going to get there as long as he stays healthy.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan texts in. Says, I think A.J. Brown is the best receiver the Titans have had in a long time. With that being said, I think he has a lot of improvements that need to be made and will be made as he grows in his position. I feel that he often gets overshadowed because when people think of the Titans, they think of Derrick Henry and not A.J. Brown. The Titans need to utilize A.J. way more, in my opinion. He needs to get more targets and make himself more consistent.
But again, when you have a as a quarterback, you're trying to look at the best matchups and the best way to move the ball. And when you have Corey Davis running free like Ryan Tannehill did Sunday, and you have a guy who can give you 8 for 128, well, that's a nice thing to have. The A.J. Brown thing with Derrick Henry, you could look at that either way, too. You could say he gets overshadowed, no, doesn't get as many opportunities to run base offense. But also, you could say, how many times does play action give him a little bit of an edge because teams actually have to honor the play action?
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alden texts in, in my opinion, a number one receiver is one of the top 32 receivers in the league because of the number of teams. Some teams have more than one in the top 32. Some have none. I think A.J. Brown definitely is in the top 32.
Well, if that's how you define it, he's absolutely a number one receiver. I've never heard it quite that way, I understand what you're saying there. And, yes, some teams have more than one. There's no doubt. But, yeah, he's in the top 30. He's in the top is he top 20? I think he's 20.
Yeah, yeah. He's
and
in
you
that group.
Could say I think he's somewhere in the teens and maybe even 12 to 14 range.
So I'm going to toss the same question to you that you tossed to Nate Washington. If you had to choose between A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf right now, which way are you going?
I think I'm going his way, too, just because the absolutely ridiculous speed that he has, straight burner speed.
He does. Now, I will say, A.J. Brown on that slant he took to the house against Pittsburgh, I think he showed people he's faster than we thought he was.
No doubt.
He's pretty fast.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not easy. It's not an easy choice. I do think that Metcalf, I think the way Nate said it is he's created in the lab, and that's a great way to put it because it's just he's a different kind of guy with that size and speed. It's close, but I'd probably go that way.
What, wasn't it the same day where Brown took that one to the house from like 75 yards and he was clocked at 21 miles an hour, and then that night DK Metcalf chased down
Budda Baker
at 22 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Two fastest recorded receivers this year?
Yeah. Pretty freaky.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, yeah. And to think back to their time at Ole Miss and how they didn't win more games than they did, pretty interesting. That's how bad their defense was.
They're kind of becoming
there's no lion team.
They're kind of becoming what you think of LSU with how they didn't win with who was it? Odell Beckham and Jeremy Hill.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
Mitcho. There's another receiver on that team too that
they've had a bunch of guys.
Oh, yeah. Landry, yeah. Jarvis Landry was on that team,
right? And they would, getting like winning games like 17-13. Yeah,
it's pretty incredible to think about. When we come back, what have we seen out of Corey Davis so far this year? And how much of a priority for the Titans will he be next year as a free agent? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Shotgun on third and goal. Looking to get on the board. Tannehill. Touchdown. Corey Davis.
You know, Corey has a great play strength. You know, ability to make those contested catches that you mentioned. You know, I thought that was a great throw and catch, you know, in the end zone. Great body control by Corey and great throw by Ryan. And we'll need, you know, much more of that as we head into, you know, this next week and against Chicago.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on Corey Davis in his big game on Sunday against the Bengals. Welcome back in. Robbie Stanley here, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here on Robbie and Rexroad, taking you through this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, we had a texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com earlier suggest that maybe the Titans made a mistake in not picking up Corey Davis's fifth-year option based on the way that he's played so far this year. Now, Corey Davis, a big game against the Bengals, 8 receptions, 138 yards, and the touchdown that you just heard on that clip there. Do you think there's any way at all the Titans are regretting not picking up that option for Corey Davis?
With all the money that has been lit afire already? You know, again, Corey Davis has been very good this year, but you're talking about $15.7 million that they'd be on the hook for next year, and you're not paying him that much. So, no, that was an easy decision. What will be really interesting is how he views it because, look, Corey Davis has been a pro the whole time he's been here. He's been a solid player at least.
Which is important to point out because I think that people have this in their mind that he's just not good. Like you see where he was drafted, 5th overall,
yeah,
and you expect a certain level of production. And let's be honest, that production has not been there to justify taking him 5th overall. That does not mean that he is a bad player.
No.
There is a difference.
Absolutely. I mean, he's not going to live up to being the number 5 pick, okay? He's also battled through a lot of injuries, and that's a concern. You know, he's had a lot of nagging injuries. It's hard in this league to realize your potential if you have that a lot. It's also hard for a lot of guys to avoid that. I mean, it's a tough league. But when he's been healthy, he's been solid at least. He was really better than that at times his second year, 2018. And this year is really, I mean, I think it's his best football of his career. Again, I think he's very much respected in that locker room. He's a really good presence on this team in every way. And a guy I have to think that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel would love to continue to have around, but you don't pay him $15.7 million for what he is. He's a number two receiver. You don't pay a number two receiver $15.7 million. So that's a note. That's a non-starter. Now, if he can look at it that way and say, I get that. You know, that's the production's not there. I understand why they didn't pick it up. I still want to be here. I think it'd be great for them to try to work something out. Now, a lot of players don't get that option picked up, and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. And maybe that's how he'll look at it. I don't know. But I think it would be very valuable of them to try to work something out and lock him up on some kind of deal, because he's a good player, and you're seeing it. And, yes, Robbie, he is a heck of a run blocker.
Yes, just imagine how many yards Derek Hitting would have run for against Houston had he been in the game blocking.
That's a good point. It would have been even
more. He already
more.
Ran for 200. He could have run for 380 if Corey Davis was in there.
That's you. You said it.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Steven from Hendersonville, who wants to weigh in. Steven, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexrow. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Corey Davis is the hill that I'm going to die on. It infuriates me when I hear anybody kind of doubt or question his production. This town for 5 years has bent over backwards giving Mariota every conceivable possible excuse why he was unproductive. Yet since the day Corey Davis was drafted, starting with Derek Mason down, and unfortunately your coworker Stillman was on that firing line too, they have questioned Corey Davis. I admit the numbers aren't there, but when you look at it in the context, Marcus sucked as a quarterback. For 5 years, everybody gave him a pass or an excuse why. However, Corey Davis could not excel at being a wide receiver when your quarterback throws more picks than touchdowns. It's simple mathematics. Marcus couldn't get him the ball. Now, you want to look at trends. Corey Davis' second year, he was targeted just over 100 times. He had 70 catches, 1,000 yards, what, 6-7 touchdowns? Great. He has been targeted 60 times or less the rest of the time in Tennessee. And you guys have said this is a running offense. Last year, Michael Thomas was targeted 160 times. Look at the context as to why Corey Davis's production is down. This team has not used him correctly, has not given him any and everything he needs to excel. This isn't a Corey Davis issue. It is a quarterback issue. It is a organizational issue.
I think you make some good points there, Steven. First of all, is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
All right. Well, here's what I would ask. One is, okay, so do you think they should have picked up the fifth-year option? But also, I think he makes some good points, but then my question is, then why did A.J. Brown come in here and start lighting the world on fire right away? I mean, does anyone think that Corey Davis is better than A.J. Brown?
I don't think very many people do.
I wouldn't think so. Again, I think there's a lot of good points there, and also, not everybody was giving Mariota a pass. You were VP of the Mariota Hater Club. That was a total debate in this town for you. It wasn't like everyone's like, everything's fine. Marcus is great. Okay, here we go. Let's go to the game now and have a picnic. No, there are a lot of people who weren't happy with Mariota, and I think there's probably some truth to the fact that Davis would have more production with a better quarterback. I agree with that. But also, we've seen Corey Davis play for several years now. He is not an overwhelming, dominant number five receiver talent in this league, and I don't think he will be. I think he's a good player.
I agree. I agree with a lot of what Steven threw out there. I don't think he was put in a great position to succeed early on. The question I would follow that up with is, why is it last year, once the switch was made and Tannehill came in, that everybody else on offense seemed to figure it out and he couldn't? Now, injuries, I'm sure, were a part of that. He was dealing with a toe injury, which I'm sure slowed him down, and maybe that's the answer. But
that's a big part of the whole answer,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. I mean, injuries have slowed him down. I think there's no question about that. But maybe this year you're starting to see a little bit more of what he can do when healthy. And the question then becomes, all right, if this is what you're going to get out of Corey Davis when he's healthy, what is that worth to you if you're the Titans moving forward? And to your point, is Corey Davis in a mind frame where he would want to stay here? Or, as you typically see when teams don't pick up your fifth-year option, you test the waters elsewhere, maybe get an opportunity for you to go somewhere and be a quote-unquote number one receiver.
Well, and it's not just because I think Corey is very level-headed, and I think he won't look at it like some vindictive move to move on. But if you're playing this well and you are taking steps in your production and in your play, you could also look at the open market and think, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Versus, I mean, for all the things John Robinson has to worry about right now, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate here. He's just sitting there, you know, but you could make the case to try to lock him up on something.
Well, and the other side of that is, I mean, it's going to be a pretty tough year to be a free agent because the salary cap and everything that comes along with that, not really a great time for Corey Davis to go out and be a free agent. So maybe the best option is here where they know what you are, you know what they are, and the money probably, regardless of what you do, is probably not going to be where you want it to be. I think that's a reality most NFL players are going to have to deal with this offseason.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, it's not what it would be in a normal year, but the open market still inflates everything.
Sure.
I think it will still do that to some extent.
It will. It's good that we're having this conversation because that was a big point heading into this year is this is a big year for Corey Davis. So far, I think he's played well. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's all been perfect this year, but I think he's played well this year. Well enough to where if I'm the Titans, this 1-2 combo of Brown and Davis, certainly I would be interested in keeping that together if at all possible, which honestly, heading into this year, I'm not sure that was going to be the case.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, they've got, I think they love their top three right now. There's a pretty big drop off right now. You got some guys who've been really good stories behind that, but they didn't draft a receiver last year. I thought maybe they would. I think that also increases the urgency to try to keep things together.
When we come back, we will switch gears like we do every Wednesday at 8:45. The choice is yours. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they come.
This. And it's that time of the week, the award-winning The Choice Is Yours segment here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. Joe Rex Road is in charge of the questioning today. Joe, I turn it over to you.
I do have a quick, not really breaking news, but a breaking information for all of us that John Robinson will be talking at 10:35 on a Zoom call with media. So
okay, there you
that
go.
Should be interesting. And yes, I'd like you guys to choose sports or non-sports here.
Let's start with non-sports today.
Non-sports. Let me just go ahead and rip you off, Robbie.
Okay.
Because I loved your question last week. Going into Halloween, you asked about which of the three, Stillman, Chase McCabe, or me, would be killed first in a horror movie. That was one of my favorite
very
choices.
Very dark question by me.
No, I loved it. We all agreed. We all agreed Stillman, right?
No, Chase would die first.
Chase. Oh, Chase. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like opening credit, the role.
Yeah, that's right. Chase. Yeah. All right. Well, Stillman's next. Okay. So on that idea, see, we're in a time right now. Last week we went on Halloween. Now we're in a time in this country we need peace and love.
Yes.
Okay. And so I'm going to give you a romantic comedy question.
Oh, boy.
Which of these three is most likely to be friend-zoned and dumped by the female protagonist of a romantic comedy before she goes and finds her true love and lives happily ever after?
Okay.
Jared Stillman, Chase McCabe, or Big Joe?
Oh, man. That's good. Which one is most likely to be dumped? Well, that's an interesting question because I think when you're evaluating this question, you have to identify each of these person's ability to attract them in the first place. And that is step number one.
It's a movie.
It's a movie. I feel like Big Joe, the swag he carries with him, he'd be in pretty good shape. Like, I think he'd be fine. He's a guy. He's out there. His personality's going. He's a good-looking dude. We all love Big Joe.
And this
looks
would be
great.
Big Joe Dubin from WSMV.
Yeah, WSMV.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes.
Yeah,
he
looks great. So I don't think he's in consideration for the first one to get dumped. I'm going with Stillman.
Yes.
I'm 100% going with Jared Stillman, the first one to get dumped. I don't know if Chase could keep it together long enough to get dumped in the movie, but I have more confidence in Chase than I do Stillman. Stillman would go off on some rant, and eventually the girl would just get tired. Like, she would just be like, I can't handle this right now. I have to go do something else. Because of that, I'm going Jarrett Stillman.
I mean, they would be in the middle of dinner, and he would just go on a rant about Clowney.
Yeah.
And not every woman on this planet wants to hear about Clowney rants during dinner.
Well, even if they do, like after a while, you're like, okay, I get it.
Sure.
Got to move on to something else.
Right.
See, I'm going also Stillman. We're all unified on that. See, I think McCabe actually is a good romantic comedy hero. He's like the quiet guy, and he gets the girl in the
end.
He's
the guy you root for, yeah.
But, you know, I had to include him in this. I think Big Joe ends up being more like the angry stepdad in a romantic comedy. But Stillman,
or the fun uncle.
He could be the fun uncle. That's true. But, yeah, Stillman is the classic romantic comedy, like the bad – like not the bad boyfriend, but like the – like he's a little cocky or whatever.
Bradley
the,
Cooper and Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, exactly. And but you know, it's like this sort of relationship, but you know that
you're
eventually –
slightly less athletic than Bradley Cooper, yeah.
Eventually she's going to, you know, move on and find her hero. So, actually, I think the best movie would be Stillman losing the girl to Chase McCabe.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that plot twist.
There you go.
Nicely done.
All right.
Sports?
Sports.
Sports.
All right. In honor of our departed superstars, I'm going to give you a hypothetical here football game. You're the Titans. You are back in the AFC Championship game. You've got a whole bunch of injuries, your secondary. You got a whole bunch of injuries to the outside linebacker situation. And you are in a position where, just stay with me here, just
I'm
it's staying hypothetical. You got to either, against the Chiefs, you got to play Jonathan Joseph every snap in the secondary. You got to pick him up and sign him. Or you got to pick up Vic Beasley, and he's got to play every snap at outside linebacker.
Oh, man.
In that game to try to beat the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. So what's your choice there?
Well, after I go to the church and pray for 6 hours about what's about to happen to you on the field, my choice would be Jonathan Joseph. Like, they're already going to run by you anyway with no pass rush. You might as well just get it over with. Just let them get the points on the board quickly, and then your offense can have more time with the ball.
Would you be at Vic Beasley's church?
No, probably not. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah,
we'll have to see. We'll find out shortly.
I would. Man, this is like.
You're screwed either way.
Yes. That's a great way to put it. Because of the speed of the receivers for the Chiefs, I think I'd have to go Beasley and just pray that he breathes on Mahomes.
I mean, the question here is, like, what is the more entertaining way for you to get beat? I think that's what it really boils down to.
No, you're trying to win, and you can still win. Your offense can score points.
You gotta
somehow find a way to grab a stop or two, which is probably mostly like, please, Jeffrey Simmons or Clowney, tip up a bunch of
give me the old man in the secondary.
You ain't winning against the Chiefs receiving core with Jonathan Joseph.
I agree. That's
old
why
guy 33.
I'm with you. I'm going Beasley.
Give it to me. I don't care.
I'm going Beasley. You have to have some kind of speed back there, and I understand that in all likelihood Beasley's just not going to do anything, but maybe there's a chance that he sneaks in.
Is there?
Well, but there's no chance that Joseph, especially with that receiving core. I mean, that's why it's
him.
A tough choice.
Yeah. Sticks his luck out, trips him every route. Non-sports.
All right, this is because I got ticked off yesterday on Twitter again. I know this happens a lot. Our buddy Hibbs and you throwing shade at, you know, probably the greatest band in history, which probably tips my hand on this answer, but whatever. You're on a desert island the rest of your life, and you have to listen to one of these two bands. You have their full collection.
Okay.
The Beatles or the Stones?
Oh, I'm going Stones.
Stones.
Easy. The Beatles are the most overrated band in the history of music.
Yeah. See, I shouldn't even have given you the platform to say something so ridiculous. But
the most overrated band in the history of music, the Beatles.
It's so bad.
I will not go that far. I do enjoy their tunes, but Rolling Stones, I can get behind.
You want to hear a shot here? I would listen to Blink 182 all day long before the Beatles.
What about Nickelback?
Does that make you want to fight me?
I mean, it doesn't make me want to fight you. I want to hug you. I feel so bad for you. Like, I seriously, like, I want to get you help.
I'm fine.
Blink.
I'm doing really well.
So what about Nickelback?
I don't know if I go that far.
I think
although it's close.
Yeah, that's wow. Okay, so listen. Here's with you. I don't know. I love the Stones. Okay, I love the Rolling Stones. Exile on Main Street, Sticky Fingers. They got some great albums. They've got a great catalog. They are not at the level of the Beatles. And if you guys talk about you like some of their tunes, so you've heard some of their hits.
No, I've heard.
Have
a
you
lot
listened
of
to the
Beatles.
White Album? Have you listened to Abbey Road? The whole albums.
No.
I don't know what songs are in which albums.
Well, right. That's,
but here's
I'm
the
talking
thing.
Albums. I'm not talking songs.
The Beatles songs that I've heard, which is a large amount, a lot of the songs sound alike.
Yeah.
Where if you only had to listen to one on a desert island, I think after about 20 minutes, I'd be like, all right, I've heard the same gist of music out of the Beatles, where the Rolling Stones give you a plethora.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice work.
This is a very uninformed take by you, and that's fine. I'm trying to help you guys here. This really what the goal here is. So if you listen to the White Album, Helter Skelter, they basically created heavy metal, okay? Their song, the early songs, you're right. Please, please me, I want to hold your hand, blah, blah, blah. I don't even like that stuff.
Sucks, with a capital S.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff. But if you start getting into Revolver, Rubber Soul, Magical Mystery Tour, Sgt. Pepper's, White Album, Abbey Road. Abbey Road's the greatest album ever created ever in rock, okay? So I know this is all subjective, but see, I think both of you should try to explore it a little bit more. I know nobody listens to albums anymore, but they're a band that you need to listen to the album as a full thing.
Okay.
And the Stones are like that, too. I think it's a tough choice, but the shade that you guys are throwing at the Beatles, man.
I have no regrets.
Hurts. Don't look it at me.
Not
with
a
the
single
shade.
One.
Robbie's the one throwing.
Yeah, Robbie. Yeah, I know. Blink-182.
Sucks.
My gosh. All right.
Back to sports.
Yeah. What are we? Sports? Okay. Humiliation.
Okay.
A sports humiliation question. I will say, I've been, this is all of these have happened to me, okay? But what would you least like to happen to you? Be burned deep for a touchdown, dunked on, or struck out swinging?
Ooh. I mean, all three of those things have happened to me, too. I think the most humiliating one is getting dunked on. John Jenkins dunked on me one time in high school and stole my soul. Like, I went up. I was very confident I was going to make the block. Didn't happen. Dunked right over my head. The ball came down, hit me in the head, which added a little bit to it. But, I mean, I was a decent athlete, but that was the most embarrassing moment of my athletic career. Dunked on is the way I'm going. Like, you're going to get beat deep eventually in football. You're going to strike out swinging many times. Getting dunked on, very, very humiliating.
I think it's the most humiliating. I would agree, mostly because you'll end up on a poster.
Like, yeah.
You're not going to end up on a poster when you get beat deep. You're not going to end up on a poster when you strike out swinging. You're going to get onto a poster when Vince Carter dunks on you in the Olympics.
Is there a poster for John Jenkins dunking on you?
There could be. If somebody was taking photos at the time, there definitely would
be. Is it in the Station Camp Athletics Hall of Fame?
It absolutely could be.
See, I'm going struck out swinging, and the reason I don't do dunk time, in fact, that's my least of the three.
Really?
Because what it means is you got beat by someone like a really good athlete, right? If you got dunked on, which I've been dunked on by Michigan State basketball players actually playing in an IM building. But if you get
humble brag,
I was a student that played intramural, at the IM building. But if you get dunked on, it's someone who's a really good athlete who can dunk. You can get burned deep by a slow athlete. You could get struck out by a junk ball pitcher. Like, I think the feeling of striking out and just being that isolation there.
There is a loneliness to it.
I think it's a worse feeling, and that's why I'm going struck out.
Like, even if you get dunked on, maybe somebody else broke down defensively and you're going over to help. And you don't get there.
You just happen to be the one on the poster.
Right, exactly.
Or 30 seconds later, you can get the ball and dunk on somebody else. If you strike out swinging, you have to wait like 2 hours before you go up to the plate again.
I like that you've thrown that in there. There is a loneliness to it. That's a good point by you,
Joe. Yeah, it's more the feeling. It's a feeling thing.
The lonely walk back from the batter's box to the dugout.
Right. I mean, I think that's also a little bit there with being burned deep. You know, you're all alone, and everybody's pointing at you, but I think it's even worse with the strikeout.
I'm about to really make you mad. You ready for this?
Oh, sure.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, I'd rather listen to all of Creed's music before the Beatles. I rest my case.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, let's put Creed, Live, Bush. What was your dumb band? Blink-182. Garbage.
You may be the only person on the earth I've ever met that doesn't like Blink-182.
I'll find you a whole bunch more, buddy.
Blink-182? I'm not saying they're garbage. The greatest thing ever, but you just like hate them. There's a hatred
Blink
in your heart for Blink-182.
Blink-182 has some good jams.
Yeah, man.
All the
this
things.
Is all on you, Rexro.
They suck. God, get them out of
is
here.
Is that what it sounds like? Great edition of The Choice is Yours, Rexro. You've done a phenomenal job. You're on the show today.
Thank you.
And now
Thank
your you. Face is red and I've upset you. So my goal for the day is accomplished. When we come back,
We'll get into the news of the day from the Titans releasing Beasley, Brinkley, and Jonathan Joseph. Get your reaction to that as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Make sure this Saturday you catch the college football game of the week on ESPN 94.9 presented by Gary Force Acura. This Saturday's game is an SEC battle as Florida travels to Athens to take on Georgia. Kickoff is at 2:30 p.m. on ESPN 94.9. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save